Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your great love for us, so amazing, so divine, that you gave up your Son for us all. We're completely undeserving of this gift. We are forever grateful for your grace. We thank you that Jesus willingly was obedient to your will, that he suffered and died, took upon himself the punishment that we deserved, paid in full for our sins. I pray that we would just be so grateful for your grace, that we would rely on your grace to help us through whatever we face in 2021. Use your word to make us more like our dear Savior Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be back with you. My wife and I and kids enjoyed a trip away, went to see my family and my wife's family, and had some great time with them and made some fantastic memories, but it's always good to be home and be back together with the Lord's people here. Want to give a special thanks to Dave Krieger for preaching the Word of God in my absence. If you missed last Sunday's message, you can go to our website and you can hear that. He preached from 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, and I'm grateful that the Word went forth in a great, great way. Thank you, Dave. Thank you to each that had a part in making sure our parking lot was cleared and sidewalks and all that. I appreciate you taking care of details like that, setting up for communion and stuff like that. Appreciate each one of you that had a part. 2020 was a challenging year. That might be an understatement. And you may have found yourself, as you inch closer to 2021, saying something like, get me out of 2020 and bring on 2021. And I'm not going to have you show hands if that was your attitude, but I'm guessing that some were hoping to get out of 2020 and get into 2021, but yet as we inch closer, didn't you want to just kind of pick up the curtain of 2021 and just take a peek inside to see what this year is going to have for us before we go barging into it? Well, it's January 3rd, and we're already in to 2021, and we're excited to see what God has in store for us. Whatever lies ahead of us, 2021, we all need grace. Would you agree with that? We all need grace to get through it. And that's why I think it's so fitting to start the new year off together as a church, celebrating God's grace, celebrating communion together with the Lord Jesus Christ, focusing on God's grace through his Son and his finished work for us on the cross. We're going to rejoice that our God has provided for us sustaining grace for the new year. Sustaining grace for the new year. And we're going to be looking at two key verses in Scripture in regards to this. So I encourage you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And this morning we're going to look at verses 31 and 32, focusing on sustaining grace for the new year. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, starts off with a question. What then shall we say to these things? This is a great question, friends. Because what Paul is asking here is this. What difference should these truths, what truths? The truths that he unpacked in this great chapter, Romans chapter 8. What difference should all these truths make in my life? That's what that question is asking there in verse 31. What should all these truths, what kind of difference should they make in your life? And it's a very, very fitting question for Paul to ask after you read the great verses right before it. So join me in looking at verses 28 through 30 as we consider this question in its context. Paul says in verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And so as you think of the verses I've just read, verse 29, verse 30, they explain why verse 28 works the way it does. Why all things work together for good to those who love God. Paul shows us very clearly why that's the case. Verses 29 through 30, he lines it up and he says, from beginning to the end, our salvation is by God's grace. From beginning to the end, our salvation is by God's grace. He writes about that here. He writes about that in other places of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, 4, and 5 tells us that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, according to the purpose of his will. And we need to understand when it comes to God's sovereign choice that it was not on account of any foreseen merit in any of us. It wasn't on account of any foreseen faith in us. Verse 29 of Romans chapter 8 tells us his choice was according to his foreknowledge. And I really like how Wayne Grudem explains that phrase, those whom he foreknew, there in verse 29. He says, it's those whom he long ago thought of in a saving relationship to himself. He foreknew, verse 29 goes on and says, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Verse 30 says, he called us to salvation through the gospel. And when we willingly responded to that call of God, when we responded with sincere repentance of our sins and with saving faith in Christ, then verse 30, he justified us. He declared us righteous in Christ. And when he returns for his own, verse 30, he will bring our salvation to completion. So from beginning to end, our salvation is by God's grace. At the end, he will glorify us, meaning he will transform this earthly body that you and I dwell in. He will conform this earthly body into a resurrected body like our Lord's, never to die again, perfect in every way. Can you wait for that day? Isn't that going to be awesome? So as we focus on all these marvelous truths that Paul's laying out in verses 28, 29, and 30, that's why this question in verse 31 is so great, it's so appropriate. What then shall we say to all these things? What shall we say that from beginning to end our salvation is by grace? What shall we say to that? And I just encourage you to think about how you would answer that question that Paul asked there at the beginning of verse 31. Will you reply to everything you've just heard taught from verses 28 through 30 and just say, you know what? All that's nice, but I really don't want to engage in a predestination debate. I'm not interested in that kind of a conversation. So can we, Pastor, please just focus on something that's going to actually help me get through the year 2021? Some people might respond that way to that question Paul asked in verse 31. Some people might say, well, all this is really nice and hunky-dory and wonderful, verses 28 through 30, but I really came to church today wanting to know, how am I going to be able to get help for my marriage in 2021? How am I going to get help for parenting and grandparenting in 2021? What are you going to give me that's going to help me with my job in 2021? I wasn't anticipating us focusing on this kind of stuff. I don't know what is in your heart right now and how you're responding to these great truths and answering this question, but just, friends, be careful how you answer. Be careful how you respond. Because I think if you can read verses 28, 29, and 30, these marvelous truths about our God and his grace, and not be fazed at all by it, that says something concerning about your heart. Because these are some incredible truths in God's word here, 28, 29, and 30. And I'm praying and hoping that these incredible truths bring you, they bring me to the realization that our God, our gracious God, he demands our all. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands our life, our all. That's how God wants us to respond. That's how he wants us to start this new year. Focusing on his grace and realizing that because of his grace, he deserves, he demands our life, our all. Our gracious God demands our all. Our gracious God will not abandon us in our difficulties. I think we see that in the context here. We don't know what's in store for us in 2021. We all hope it will be better than 2020, but we don't know. And when you think of 2021 as a church and things that you have heard from government and bills that are actually being submitted and laws that are being considered changed, it can be very alarming. It can be very concerning as a believer, as a church. How are we going to navigate through all this? What are we going to do? The direction that our country's headed, we could face more opposition as a church. We could face more difficulties as a church for the sake of the gospel in the year 2021 than the American church has ever faced before. We really could. In these verses, Romans 8 specifically, Paul was encouraging the believers he was writing to stand firm in the midst of persecution. That's the context here. Stand firm. And when you and I, as American citizens, think of persecution, a lot of times our minds go to, oh, I have a family member or I have a friend who mocks me for my faith. I've had that. Maybe you have too. Or we think of like a scenario that my wife's friend is going through. She is right now being discriminated against at her work because she's going to church. She's been told that because she's going to church, you cannot meet with her in her office, etc., etc. And they're using it all for the sake of the safety argument, but they're not putting those restrictions on anybody else that's not going to church. So there's some discrimination there because she's going to church. We don't know what's in store for us in regards to 2021. The things I just described, they are difficult situations. It's not fun having family or friends that mock you for your faith. It's not fun being discriminated against for your faith. But what this church that Paul was writing to was going through in regards to persecution, and what churches in the world, believers in those churches, have gone through in regards to persecution, it's incredible to think that these people are being encouraged and upheld to stand firm in persecution. Some of these believers are put into prison because of their faith. You may have read about some of them. Some of these believers, their lives are being threatened. Their families' lives are being harmed and threatened because of their faith. Some of these believers are having property destroyed because of their faith. We must pray that that kind of persecution may never reach the soil of the U.S. But we don't have control over that. And we can't think that we're going to always be spared from opposition and difficulties like that in our country. We can pray that we will avoid those things. But Paul is writing and he is saying in verse 35 that there is tribulation. There's distress. There's persecution. There's famine. There's nakedness. There's danger. There's sword. He quoted the psalmist, verse 36. He says, "For your sake we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." And so if any of that happens to any of us in 2021 or whatever year, this is what's encouraging about all that. None of what happens to us by anyone or anything will change who we are in Jesus Christ. None of it. We just read great truths. We are predestined. We are called. We are justified. We will be glorified in Christ Jesus. And because of those amazing truths, we're able to endure then hardship for the sake of the gospel. All that is fuel for the church to endure hardship for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to verse 35. Question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Answer, no one. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 34, who is to condemn? No one. Verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? No one. Verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Our gracious God, he will enable us to endure opposition and difficulties with humility and gentleness. He will not abandon us in our difficulties. Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
Anyone who is against us, as harmful and as painful as those words and actions are, understand who they're ultimately against. If they're against us as a child of God, they're ultimately against God. Against God. And friends, you don't want to be an enemy of God's. God is either for you, verse 31, or he's against you. There isn't any middle ground. You don't find that in the verse. You don't find that in Christ's teachings. John chapter 3, Christ said, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not, the wrath of God remains on him. So if you have not believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, friend, I encourage you to make today the day of your salvation. If God is for you, no one can be against you. Our gracious God demands our all. He will not abandon us in our difficulties. And lastly, our gracious God will give us all things that are good for us. Let's look together now at verse 32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I don't know if you've ever kind of reworked scripture to make it understand in your minds, but another way to phrase verse 32 is to take it out of a question form and make it a statement. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will therefore surely also with him graciously give us all things. That's the message of verse 32, friends. Paul is saying, since God did the hardest imaginable thing, since he gave up his son to suffer and to die for our sins, then you can be sure that God will do the easy thing, that he will graciously give us all things with him. And when you think about all of that, since all of that, verse 32, is true, then here's what it means, verse 31. God can never stop being for us. It's outside of his character. He can never stop being for us. What sustaining grace for 2021 that our God is for us. It's amazing. Now, I do know that we need to do some time unpacking verse 32 and understanding specifically what does graciously give us all things mean. And the reason I want us to do that is because this is a verse that is notoriously ripped out of context by believers and misapplied to their life. And it's important when you're reading scripture to consider the context, consider the context, consider the context. All right? What does graciously give us all things mean? A lot of times people take this verse and they say, God, in 2021, I want a nicer house, and I am claiming by faith, verse 32. That's my life verse for 2021. And then they just think God's going to give them a nicer house. Or, Lord, I want a new car in 2021, and you said you will graciously give me all things in Christ. I'm claiming verse 32 by faith. Or, Lord, I want a pay raise for 2021, and you promised that you will give that to me. That's ripping it out of context and misapplying it to your life, friends. Because nowhere in verse 32 does God promise you or me a life of ease or comfort for 2021. Nowhere in verse 32 is God saying to you or me that we're all going to be safe from our enemies in 2021. It doesn't say that in that verse. And if that's what that verse actually meant, then why would Paul write verse 36? For your sake, we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Why would he write that if God's promising just a couple verses earlier that we'll have comfort and ease and safety at all times? The truth is, in 2021, many Christians will suffer persecution in our world. And as you think about that sad reality this morning, notice the question found in verse 35. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul tells us the answer to that question in verse 37. He says, no. Why? And he answers why. Because in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And so, friends, please look this morning at verse 32 from the appropriate vantage point from this one. Do you desire to faithfully endure tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword for the sake of the gospel? If that's your heart's desire this morning, then rejoice, Christian. Because God, who loved you so much and sent his son to save you from your sins, is the same God that will give you and will give me the grace to bear up under any trial that we go through in this year for the sake of the Lord. He'll give us the grace to endure any opposition, any difficulty that we may face for the sake of the gospel. He promises us in 2 Peter 1:3 that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Meaning God has given us all that we need to endure opposition and difficulties for his glory. All that we need is his word and the Holy Spirit who lives within us. That's grace, friends. Our God has given us that. And so as we come back to the original question at verse 31, or 32, what does graciously give us all things mean? It means that our gracious God, verse 28, will give us all things that are good for us. Meaning, he will give us all that we really need in order to be conformed to the image of his son. And so oppositions, difficulties, comfort, ease, all of it, and everything in between will be used by God for his glory and for your good and for my good, making us like Christ. He gives us his spirit, his word, so that we can respond like Christ through the hardships, the trials, the tribulations, all of it. So that brings us back to the great question that we started with in verse 31. Knowing all that I've just laid out, here's the question. What then shall we say to these things? And we have the answer. It's in the same verse. Here's what we'll say. We'll walk out of here and say, God is for us. God is for us. That will sustain you through each and every single day of 2021, knowing that in Christ Jesus, God is for you. Rejoice that he's for you. And he showed you that by sending his son to pay the penalty for your sin. Christ died on the cross for our sins. And I just want you to really hone in as we get ready to observe communion with Christ together on just some key words in verse 32. Look closely at these words. God the Father did not spare his own son, but gave him up so that you could be saved. Just think about that. Think about that as a child. You had a parent or parents who I'm sure you could testify spared you at one time or the other from receiving the full punishment that you deserve for a wrong that you did. You've experienced that. I've experienced that. My kids have experienced that from me. But what's verse 32 say about God? You may have served in jury duty at one time in your life and sat in on a case, and maybe you got to completion and maybe you thought, boy, that judge was light and easy on them. They deserved a far greater sentence. That judge gave them grace. Parents gave you grace. But verse 32 says, God the Father did not spare his own son, but gave him up. He did not spare his son, as Galatians 3:3 says, from becoming a curse for us. That's grace, friends. Acts 2 tells us that Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of the Father. And this was prophesied hundreds of years before it actually happened by Isaiah the prophet. He specifically said in Isaiah 53 that the Messiah was smitten by God the Father, that the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all, that it was the will of the Lord to crush him and put him to grief. That's what God the Father did to his son. That's grace, as you and I think about that. It was God's eternal purpose to glorify himself by sending his son to bear our sins. But focus on two more key words in verse 32. God the Father gave him up for us. Do you know what that means? It means that Jesus died in our place, friends. He took the penalty that you and I deserved for our sins. And Isaiah prophesied about this, saying that the Messiah bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And as we go back to verse 32, look at the very next word. God the Father gave him up for us all. And we have to ask, who is the all? Here in verse 32. And the context answers that for us. In the context, the all is Verse 29 and 30, everyone he foreknew, predestined, called, justified, and one day will glorify. The all in verse 32 is everyone God is for in verse 31. The all in verse 32 is God's elect in verse 33. The all in verse 32 is those who God is right now interceding for in verse 34. And so as we think about these key words there in that rich verse, verse 32, we're reminded that God did the hardest thing imaginable. He gave up his son. And we're reminded that Jesus Christ bore the holy God's wrath for our sins upon himself. He suffered and he died for us. And because he did all of that, this is what it means for you and I who are in Christ Jesus. Go all the way back to verse 1 of Romans 8. Because of all that Jesus did for us and all that God provided for us, you and I can now dwell in the presence of Christ and have communion with him, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Everyone who's in Christ can be confident of promises like this one. Philippians 4:19, our gracious God will supply every need of ours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We love promises like Romans 8:32. We love promises like Philippians 4:19, and we can cling to those promises and we can hold fast to them and know that they will come true. But don't rip verse 19 out of its context and don't misapply it. Because in the full context of Philippians 4, prior to Paul saying this, he said, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, happy or sad, good or bad, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things, including hungering and needing, through Christ who strengthens me. And so all that we have heard to prepare our hearts for observing communion with our Savior, we've been encouraged from the Word of God, knowing that Christ's suffering and death guarantees that our gracious God will give us all things that we need to do his will and to give him glory in the year 2021. Amen. All God's people say,